This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Chad has a day off. I'm Dave Schrader. This is News Talk 830 WCCO. And I, for this next half an hour, I'd like to talk about something that's weighing on the minds of quite a few people lately. Gun control, right? With the recent school shootings, the mass shootings making headlines, it's hard not to ask what's really at the heart of the issue here. Is it the laws? Is it the enforcement of laws, mental health, or is something deeper in our culture having this impact? I mean, it feels like every side has their go-to arguments, but are we missing the bigger picture? And I'd like for you to weigh in with me. Dig in. What do you think is really driving this? How do we start finding solutions that actually work? You can connect with me on the Stiles Financial Talk and Text line. Pick it up. Give me a call. I want to hear your voice. I want you to tell me what your thoughts are on this. 651-461-9226. That's 651-461-9226. I grew up in the 80s, and, aside from the occasional tornado drill or us having to go down into the basement because of the severe weather, there was never a threat that we were concerned about, and it certainly was not on a daily or weekly basis like it is today. So many people are just fearful that we're going to strip them of their rights to bear arms. So, you know, people are worried that we're trying to govern the type of weapons they own, how they own them. Other people are saying what really needs to be addressed is the mental health issues. What are the laws? How do we balance the laws? How do we get past the rhetoric and the BS? How do we get past the defenses and the walls that everybody has up and get to the heart of this problem? What is really going on, and how do we contain this? We're the worst country in the world with this problem. And there are other countries that have guns that they're not seeing this type of activity. They're not seeing this kind of violence on a daily or weekly basis. It is brutal. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. And the fact that at least once or twice a week, I have to sit down and really think about how dangerous school is. You know, some say, well, we need to put guns in the hands of the teachers. I don't know if you follow a lot of the news, but there are teachers that are being overpowered in their classroom for what? Taking a phone away from a student who feels that they don't want to give up their phone. And if they know that that teacher has a gun on them and that student who has no problem raising a fist to that teacher, do we really want to have a weapon on hand that could be taken away, overpowered, and then perhaps a shooting happens that way? What is the right answer? And I'm not saying that that's not it. I just don't know what is the proper answer. Is it that we need law enforcement in every school? Metal detectors? Do we need to get more of that enacted, I don't want to breed fear into my children or my grandchildren, but I also want to let them know that there is a need for awareness, that they should be aware and understand what they need to do in an instance like this. Let's go to the callers. We've got the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line is open. Again, that phone number is 651-461-9226. Dave from Andover, you're on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate you having this topic on, and let me talk about it. I'm 76 years old. I've been around guns since I was 7. Under adult supervision, I was able to shoot, like a 22 rifle, when I was a young kid. When I was 12, I took the state gun safety course with a couple other guys from my neighborhood, and with that, we could get we had a certificate, and we could hunt on that until you're 16 years old, they have to buy a hunting license. But and I've also had a carry permit. My wife worked in law enforcement. I've got a lot of friends and relatives been in law enforcement. And you cannot legislate behavior. If people want guns, you can go out on the street and buy them. You can break into stores and steal them. You can break into people's houses and get them. Like I said, you cannot legislate behavior. So there, people say, "Oh, there's got to be a solution." No, every problem in this country, in this world, does not have a solution.
I understand that. I agree. And listen, I grew up in an era where, I was watching Starsky and Hutch on TV. I was seeing the movie The Warriors in the theaters. I played violent video games and read comic books. And you can't blame everything on TV, movies, video games. There is some breakdown that's taking place. And you're right. We can't legislate the way people act. But yet we're the only country in the world that has this problem at this depth. And, as soon as an issue comes up and we say, God, what should we do? Maybe we need to legislate guns more. You get everybody saying, you're not going to take my guns. Instead of the focus being, we really need to start figuring out an issue. Both sides need to come together on this. And okay, NRA, okay, everybody else, what can we do? What can we agree upon? And what can we start to put into play to start to balance this out? What is effective and working in other cultures and societies that we're missing out on here? Because the same battles come up every time it happens, but nothing changes.
Yeah, well, this country, there are more guns in this country than people, mm-hmm. by a wide margin.
Agreed.
And, other countries, have stricter laws and regulations right from the start. Like I said, that's the way this country was founded. We fought for our independence,
Right.
So, and it just proliferated from there. I mean, it's part of the nature of our basic society, and it's not going to change. Like I say, there are so many guns out, and, you can't, get a big magnet and, suck them all up.
Right. I understand that. And Dave, thanks so much for calling in and being part of the show, weighing in on it. There is no one simple answer. I understand that. And I'm watching the talk and text line, people weighing in. One of the main problems with guns is that we have desensitized and glorified shooting and killing through music, mainstream media, and movies. And society does not hold the same moral values as we did 30 years ago. Of course, you can legislate behavior. This is the whole point of what legislation is. I understand your point in that as well, but I think what he's getting at is, unfortunately, you can't dictate how people are going to react. How do we address the mental health issues we keep saying that's the real problem. That's the real problem. Okay, then what do we need to do? How do we do that without thought police? Start evaluating people on the potentiality of the danger zone and putting them away or stopping them prior. That's where I think people are afraid we're going to go. We need to take a break. We'll come back. Paul is online too. We'll talk with him next. The talk and text line is open. 651-461-9226. I want to hear from you. Like many of you, I'm confused. What do we do? We keep hearing about the shootings. We keep hearing about these mass murders. And the debate never really seems to settle itself. There's a flare up a day or two after, and then it goes away until next week when the next tragedy happens. What do we do? What is the steps we need to make? Is it simply saying that guns of war do not belong in the hands of private citizens? Is it just that simple? What do we do? Can we legislate the way that people act? We can legislate, our caller brought it up, and I know our program director came in and chatted with me about this. You know, what the real point is we can't legislate morality. We can legislate actions, because this is why we do what we do. These are the rules that are put into effect and how they should remain in effect. But the bigger deal is, the rule is don't kill people, but it's not stopping people. How do we reengage this? How do we instill in people this? And we've always been a brutal, violent country. You can say that we're not and that there's been these moments, but looking at our history, that is just the way it is, and we shouldn't accept it. We shouldn't be complacent. And you're right. We have become more desensitized through TV, through movies, through media, through social media, through video games. I do see that there is an element of that into these situations. Okay, with that said, what do we do now to start to fix that? What is the conversation we can have? And you can reach me through the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. We have Paul on line two. Paul, welcome to the program. What did you want to share?
Great topic.
Thank you.
Everybody knows, I don't know if we can wait for government to fix this or wait for somebody to fix it, but everybody knows that kid in school that was kind of quiet, off by himself. I think as a community, we need to be aware and reach out. That person at work that's weird, quiet, reach out, check in. We have to, it's going to take an effort on all parts. Government, red flag laws, community, checking in with people. That's what I think.
I agree with you, Paul. Thank you very much for calling and being a part of the show. Here's one of the listeners texted in. The only thing that will ever stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. I don't know if you're familiar with our past and our history. The Wild West was called the Wild West for a reason, because everybody had a gun on their hip and everybody believed that they were right and that they were standing up for what they wanted, doing what they wanted, how they wanted, and they had to change rules and change the way that things went down so that we weren't just out there. Remember, every villain is the hero of their own story. They're out there. You know, and I think that this is a problem. I feel challenged by you. And there have been problems like this where somebody is in your face because you bumped into them on a subway and they may be raging at you and you feel that you are being threatened, even though no gun has been brandished, no weapon has been brandished. But because you feel threatened, you feel you have the right to pull a weapon. There has to be more accountability. Many of you are texting in and saying, who gave the 15-year-old girl access? You're right. We need to start holding accountability to the people, the adults who have the access to the guns. Why are these guns not in locked safes where the parents are the only ones with the keys on them at all times? And if the child gains access, then you're right. I believe that the parents should be held accountable. That's my feeling. But if I'm wrong, tell me how. Explain to me why. And, you know, another listener, get the guns off the market. You can eliminate the product. You will never eliminate the crazy people. That's Pat and Stacy. Pat in Stacy, Minnesota, that wrote in. Problem is, we're not going to be able to do that. No. And as one of our callers brought up, there's more guns out there than there are people in our state or in our country.
It's good fortune cookie wisdom, but it's not reality.
Right.
It's not something that's going to be put into play because guns – whether you like them or not, kind of need to be accessible to an extent, in that it's just, it's one of those things where you have to kind of sift through the bad eggs and the good eggs, and mm-hmm. it's not a job I envy. I know a few people that have to kind of go through that process that work at, you know, Shields and stuff like that, where you have to kind of go through all these different checks. Yeah, they may pass it, but it's what they do after they walk out of the store with a gun that kind of, you know, tells everything about it. So
right, and another listener weighs in, banning guns won't solve anything. Yeah. The deranged will turn in other means of violence, knives, suicide bombings. We have to increase mental health institutions. It needs to start at home. We need to start talking with our children about bullying. We need to start having these discussions. Listen, I'm lucky I came out the way I did. I spent the first 5 years of school being bullied and punished on a regular basis by children, children my age and maybe even a grade ahead of me. And it was done because I was more afraid of my dad than I was the teachers or getting my ass kicked. My dad did not want to be called into school to pick me up later because I was held for detention. Mm. So I had the fear of God put into me by my father to toe the line. So I took abuse. I got beat and I got spoken to poorly and I was treated poorly. And the teachers did not react well to what they were citing and seeing. And they came from a different era. Their deal was, well, you deal with it yourself. But, you know, every person has their own basis. Now, it's funny because we're told that there's zero tolerance in the schools towards bullying. Well, I can tell you, as the father of 11 children, that's complete and utter BS. Because if you are a white child being bullied by any child of another color, the schools are very cautious because they don't want to seem that it's racial. Understandable, but I also, you can't just change the rules because of color for anybody. Bullying is not acceptable under any circumstance, and it needs to stop. I have been on the phone multiple times with my children's principals and school administrators dealing with bullying issues, and it was not until I said, well, you can handle this properly or you'll be hearing from my attorney, that suddenly they changed that kid into a different class. They removed the problem. But unfortunately, all they did was sweep that problem over to somebody else's class. And now some student in that class has to deal with the issue as well. The bullying issue is real. The bullying issue is happening. We need to start taking care of that. We need to start discussing with our children at home the way to treat people, to be more accepting of one another. We have to get past race, religion, handicap status, anything that makes people different. We have to start teaching our children empathy. We have to start showing this, and we need to be responsible for the weapons in our homes implicitly. Because you're right, yeah. They can take knives, they could take a box cutter, they could break a Bic razor and take that to school with them. You're right, there are other ways, but that is an easier thing to take away from somebody, and it may cause a scarring, but it won't end a life in most of those situations. So it's very, very hard. Listen, one of the listeners, oh, really? You'll hear from my attorney? Yeah, really. Because if I'm in a situation where my child is being bullied and the answer I'm being given is, well, you know, we really can't say anything because, but yet you're telling me you have zero tolerance. And if my kid were on the other side of that problem, he would be suspended or sent home from school. Yeah. Then if you can't handle this on your level with the zero tolerance, then this needs to take place. We need to remove the situation and talk to an attorney. Thankfully, I've never had to get to that point. But yeah, what else am I going to do? I'm not going to go into the school with a gun. I'm not going to threaten to beat up the principal or the parents of the child or the child themselves that are bullying my kids. But you take things into legal situations. That's the point, is you don't rely on physicality or threats of violence to deal with these issues.
And I know we got to go to break, but the point that was made at the beginning about, you know, one way to stop them is with a gun yourself. Nah, a lot of these stories, and I'm not generalizing as all, but a lot of them I've heard about are the bigger people in the school, the more muscular, taller people in the school overpowering said shooter, said person with the gun. In the end, whether it's another student, a teacher, whoever, It's not really always ever, at least not that I can recall from recent memory. I'm not trying to generalize for all of them, but it's not usually met with another gun. It's usually somebody that's bigger, more muscular, or more in more, you know, control of their actions that usually overpowers said gunman, gunwoman with their weapon too. So
another listener says, "You're privileged to have access to an attorney." Well, if your child's being bullied, there's probably quite a few attorneys out there that would be more than happy to take on the local school district or the local government to deal with that issue. Sometimes you just have to put a little bit of legwork in instead of victimizing yourself and saying, "Oh, nobody's going to stand up for me and I don't have the money." Make a call. Find out what your truth is. And there are many attorneys out there who will take these cases and will help you. So don't be so dismissive for yourself. Empower yourself. Make phone calls. Learn. That's what's important. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got more to discuss. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. This is News Talk 830 WCCO.
Did you have a good life, a good, happy childhood growing up?
I really didn't consider myself happy or unhappy. I always knew that there was something out there that I needed to get to, and it wasn't where I was at that particular moment.
It wasn't in Minnesota?
No.
As I'm sure you've all seen, the new biopic about Bob Dylan, A Complete Unknown, is set to come out in theaters Christmas Day. That was a clip from Laura Oakes' A Closer Look that'll be released tomorrow. She's exploring Dylan's roots in Minnesota. She traveled to his hometown of Hibbing in Duluth, and we're excited about talking to her on this. Thank you so much, Laura.
Thanks for having me, yes.
Looks like a great movie, and Timothée Chalamet, holy cow.
Yes, I think he's been nominated for more than a few awards for this one, for sure.
And it looks like, from my understanding, he's all the music, including the guitar and harmonica.
He does it all.
Chalamet knocks it all out of the park.
And you know what else is really cool? In interviews that I've watched from Chalamet promoting this film, he talked about, and you know, he came here a couple of weeks ago. It was his idea to come here and start the whole press tour right here where it all began. And during the time when he was researching this film, he came here by himself, rented a truck in the middle of winter that he picked up at the airport, drove himself to Hibbing, skidded out a few times, got a taste for Minnesota winter on the roads, and just wanted to kind of feel that and really immerse himself in the world here, and loved it. He went to Duluth. He spent time in Hibbing, spent time in Dinkytown, of course, and the rest is history.
Understood where that voice from Bob Dylan comes from. It's that Minnesota quintessential cold voice.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Now, you've got the program's going to actually air tomorrow, correct?
Yep, it posts tomorrow. So it will be on our website and on our Facebook page. This is a longer form story that I did that mainly focuses on Dylan's time in Minnesota before he really left here and made it big, you know, off to Greenwich Village in New York, and here we go. A little bit beyond that, and how he has come back over the years, and what his interests and contributions have been here since he left. And then the audio piece that goes with it is long. It's 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I think it really tells the story and brings to life some of the places and some of the pivotal moments in his young life that really kind of shaped who he is and the decisions that he made along his very famous, long, fruitful path.
And from your program, we actually have a clip about one of those pivotal moments, right? Can you set that up for me a little?
Yeah, we do. This one is, I interviewed the person who is in charge of restoring the historic Duluth Armory. And in 1959, Bob, who was very restless as a teenager up in Hibbing, wanted to be where it was at. So where it was at in that day as a young teen in Hibbing was Duluth. So as the musical acts would pass through Duluth and play at the Duluth Armory, he and his buddies would come down and either hitchhike or grab somebody's car and come see a show. In this particular show, this is Buddy Holly's appearance at the Duluth Armory on January 31st, 1959, 3 days before his plane crashed in that Iowa cornfield. And Buddy Holly was one of Bob Dylan's very first idols. He was a rock and roller first. He loved Little Richard. He loved Buddy Holly. So here he is at the Armory show seeing Buddy Holly. He and his friend Louis Kemp forced their way up to the front stage. So they were pretty much pressed against the stage. He was just feet from his idol, maybe 6-8 feet away from Buddy Holly on the stage at the Duluth Armory. And he, in this cut, describes how he felt just such a connection, like they locked eyes, and it was this cosmic connection that really kind of set him on his path from there. Here it is.
This is the part that gets me when he talks about out of the blue, the most uncanny thing happened. He looked me right straight, dead in the eye, and he transmitted something, something I didn't know what, and it gave me the chills. So tell me about the significance of this very spot.
So this is where he was standing, and this is where the magic happened, and shortly after he moved to Minneapolis and started really focusing on his music.
Yeah, so that was the spot. I got to see the spot. They have a little plaque on the floor right where he was standing. Wow. I got to stand on the stage where Buddy Holly was. It was surreal and really cool in there. And there, if those walls could talk, and I'm sure you could find some talking walls yourself, but it was amazing.
Yeah, I had a chance to actually investigate First Avenue.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And I got to stand right in the spot where Prince brought out Purple Rain, the original song.
That
and to be there, and there is that vibe. So you can sense, I mean, for Bob Dylan to go see the man he idolized, to lock eyes with him, to share that moment, and that be the spark. That was really powerful.
That was it. And from then on, he moved down to the Twin Cities. He enrolled at the U, lived in the Jewish frat. He did not pledge the frat, but he lived in the frat house. Didn't go to school much, didn't do very well in class because he was out playing in the clubs all night long. And I think he lasted 4 semesters, not the greatest grades, but was really getting swept up in the folk music scene in Dinkytown, which was kind of considered like a little Greenwich Village. It was really hopping and coming to life. And this would have been 1958-59. So when he got to college, he sold his acoustic guitar. No, electric guitar. He sold his electric guitar, bought an acoustic, and then totally immersed himself in this Dinkytown folk scene until he ultimately moved to New York City to follow his idol, Woody Guthrie, who he got to meet.
Yeah, he didn't do too bad for himself.
No.
It's really amazing. And did you see the documentary about the We Are the World? The making of the video.
I've seen clips of that. Yeah, yeah.
It's so surprising. Here you've got a guy that is an icon to so many around the world, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got all of these major musical celebrities, including Bruce Springsteen, who is excited. They used Bob Dylan to leverage and get a lot of the celebrities to agree.
Yep.
And Bob Dylan was this timid little mouse during the filming and recording of that. As a matter of fact, at one point, everybody had to leave the room so that he could sing his segment because he was so internalized.
Yeah.
And Stevie Wonder, the documentary is great. Stevie Wonder had to show Bob Dylan how to sing like Bob Dylan.
Wow.
Because he was so unnerved by being in the presence of so many people that worshipped him. He didn't want to let anybody down.
You know what I found so fascinating about many of the people that I interviewed for this who have very good knowledge of him and his persona and his being. He's truly an introvert.
Oh, yeah.
He does not like being thrust into the spotlight. He was very uncomfortable winning the Nobel Prize for Literature and the Presidential Medal of Freedom and any other awards that put him front and center and you know, on the spot. He hates that. But then you hear stories about, you know, there was a time in the 80s where he and his brother, David Zimmerman, actually owned the Orpheum Theater in downtown Minneapolis. It ended up being a boondoggle. They sold it 10 years later. But during those years in the 80s, he was experimenting with Christianity. You know, he was Jewish, experimented with Christianity, and the talent booker at the Orpheum at the time, Fred Krohn, who became the manager of the entire theater district, actually. He deliberately booked this Christian rock band at one point because he knew that that would get Bob to the show. And it did. And there's this moment that Fred described to me just yesterday of Bob Dylan in the box office at the Orpheum, kind of hiding in the box office. He was going to be meeting the artist, this Christian artist who had come to play, and was supposedly hiding, but he would peek his face out the door once in a while. And Fred told me that he thinks for this guy who claims he doesn't want anybody to know he's there, he just is trying to be secretive and everything, he wanted to be seen. And he was, and it turned out to be a big spectacle that, oh, Bob Dylan's here, blah, 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 blah. And he loved it. And then he came out, and it was one of his days where he was feeling chatty and talked to people and signed autographs and had a great night. But, yeah, so you get this introverted side of him, and then this one that cannot resist the attention. And it's really interesting. He's such an interesting person.
It is. It's a weird dichotomy.
Yeah.
You know, I warn people when I go to live events.
Yeah.
I tell them, you know, I'm in an extrovert's job.
Mm-hmm.
I will talk in front of a crowd of 10,000 people. And if you walk up to me afterwards by yourself, I'm probably going to be real awkward. I'm an introvert in an extrovert position. So I can understand that. And that want and desire to be recognized for the work you do, but also don't do it one-on-one. I'm not ready
for that.
It's
uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
Totally uncomfortable. I know. I'm kind of the same way.
Relatable.
Yeah. Yes.
Very cool.
Yes.
And it seems we both, Bob Dylan and I, shared the same kind of college year of four semesters.
Yeah, okay.
And a lot more having fun than we were studying. But very cool. And now the movie, again, comes out for Christmas. That's A Complete Unknown, starring Timothy Chalamet.
Yep.
But tomorrow, your program is going to hit the website.
Yep.
And will air so people can find it there. Any other tips, hints on how to locate it, how to hear it, when it's going to be released?
Yeah, it'll be up first thing in the morning, I believe, WCCORadio.com. My little segment is called A Closer Look, where once a month I do kind of a bigger deep dive on a story. So this is this month's A Closer Look.
Excellent.
And right at the top of the story, it'll be the text of the story as well, everything I've written.
Mm-hmm.
But at the top, you can press the audio segment, which is 25 minutes long, of my entire exploration of his time in Minnesota, his path to stardom, the people behind the scenes, kind of the pivotal moments of what launched him, how he feels about Minnesota, what he's up to now. And I'm looking forward to it. This was a real labor of love, and I'm grateful that I got to do it.
Fantastic. Well, check this out before you go see the movie. Thank you, Laura.
We're going
to take a break. We'll be back. We've got more to cover right here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. It's 2:52, time for your Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to invest in GAF Solar Roofing and receive 50% off installation and labor. Chat is off. Dave Schrader filling in. And you can find me here again this Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. at my home, the Paranormal 360, for all things strange, supernatural. Come on out. Have a little fun with us every Sunday night as we discuss the weird and wild world around us. And if you've missed any of them, you can always find the podcasts on Odyssey or right on the WCCO website. So, big news for Top Gun Tom Cruise. I don't know if you heard about this, but after years of playing military heroes on screen, Tom Cruise is now one in real life. Yeah, the Top Gun star was honored with the Department of the Navy's Distinguished Public Service Award during a ceremony in London on Tuesday, which recognized Cruise's contribution and dedication to the U.S. Navy through his film work. According to the news release, the award is the Navy's highest honor that a person outside of the Department of the Navy can actually receive. Secretary of the Navy Carlos Del Toro presented the award to Cruise, saying in a statement that his work has inspired generations to serve in our Navy and our Marine Corps. Congratulations, Mr. Cruise.
Congratulations.
And what award will Jason DeRusha get for his love?
My contribution.
Yes.
You know.
From the Chef Boyardee Institute.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty good. I mean, Tom Cruise, Top Gun, inspired many.
Many.
It didn't make me want to join.
Really?
No.
You didn't want to get in a jet plane and fly at supersonic speeds shooting down Russians? No, that didn't ever connect with you? How come Shatner didn't get an award for how many people were brought to science and NASA?
Huh?
Because of
maybe
the love of Star Trek.
Why,
I think so.
He's never received an award for that? Seems
unlikely. So.
I'm sure he's gotten some. All these awards.
You got a participation.
You know what these awards are for. It's not for Tom Cruise.
What?
It's not for the thing. It's so people like you and me will say something.
Way to peel the
like
curtain
I just did?
Season.
Like you just did.
Wow.
You just, you
I feel
bit,
used.
You just.
Son of a.
I thought you were, I mean. Look, is this like Christmas for you with the drones and the stuff? Like, I just thought, I'm like, man.
But if you listen, I was just talking, I'd never leaned into the UFO or UAP element of it because I did that on Sunday show.
All right, good. Yeah.
On tonight, you know, today, I'm in
different
for Chad.
Audience.
It's a different, logical
audience.
Based people I need to talk to.
Jason, you've seen crazier things in your TV days, let's be honest.
Oh, for sure. It's, you know, do I think that this is alien life coming to get us? I mean, no, but Am I willing to go there for entertainment purposes? Of course.
Well, there's listen.
Could it be
plenty
a foreign actor coming for us? We don't know.
Yeah,
there's all sorts of crap flying around out there.
Maybe it's Tom Cruise trying to get more people interested in drones.
Can't rule it out.
Yeah,
there's this week did sort of make me miss Art Bell though. Like Art Bell would have been radio gold.
Oh yeah, yeah.
People want, it is fascinating, right? And you know this more than most. People, I think, most people do want to believe that there's like more going on out there.
Sure.
Because the alternative is very depressing.
Right. Like, I would much rather believe that it is visitors from Uranus than it is Russians or Chinese, government spying on us or planning to seed us with, a dirty bomb. I would much rather think it's aliens.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would rather do that. That's why conspiracies are so popular. Right?
Where did you say the visitors were from again?
Uranus. Or if we were more British, Uranus.
Yeah.
But they also say aluminum, so I don't trust anything.
Never trust the Brits. Have you seen the teeth on those people?
Jeez.
Can't. Jeez.
If you want to be offended, stay tuned. Drive
what else?
Russia's coming.
Go.
What have you got coming up for us?
We have a lot today. We're going to talk about Holidazzle being back on Nicollet Mall.
Excellent.
So that'll be good. I don't know. We have our advice columnist here.
Perfect.
For the holidays, do you stay in your childhood bedroom or at a hotel?
It's a good
point. When you're 50, what do you do?
I'll let you know.
I might be asking for me.
Thanks, Chad, for letting me sit in. I'll be back Sunday night on the Paranormal 360.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next, Drive Time with DeRusha, right here on News Talk 830 WCCO.